Hello, film fans. Edith here, bringing you another episode of my weekly podcast, Soundtracking. Thank you very much if you're a first-time listener. What we try and do is celebrate the world of film and music and the incredible synergy that the two have, this really unique and brilliant relationship. Also, in the past week, we've seen the start of nominations happening for various things on both sides of the Atlantic. We've had the Golden Globe nominations and the SAG nominations. This side of the pond, BAFTA have nominated their long list of films, which is great. And there's been some wonderful steps in representation, mainly for the Golden Globes with the female directors that have been nominated, which is great to see. But one glaring omission for me personally is Michaela Coel, who not only wrote, directed, but also starred in one of the most impressive, important and phenomenal TV series of the past 12 months, I May Destroy You. So I was really disappointed to not see her get any recognition from the nominations of the Golden Globes. But then, you know, on the flip side of that, it's wonderful to see female directors finally get the recognition and, you know, stand shoulder to shoulder with their male contemporaries. So, you know, good news, bad news. I am as well really trying to get her on the podcast because she is definitely top of my list in terms of someone I would love to talk to about her fantastic work. But on to this week's guests. And our latest guests on Soundtracking are a husband and wife duo responsible for some of the most memorable songs to feature on our screens in recent times. This is very exciting, and I apologise for any singing that may occur from me in the next little while. Bobby Lopez and Kristen Anderson Lopez are the couple who wrote the tunes in Frozen, Coco, winning Oscars for Let It Go and Remember Me, respectively. Massive and brilliant songs. Now they've contributed theme tunes to episodes of WandaVision, which is streaming now on Disney+. Now, set in the Marvel comic universe, WandaVision takes place after the events in Avengers Endgame and sees Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany reprise their roles from the film series. If you haven't started watching this yet, I am up to episode 4, I think it is. Oh my God, it's great. The twists and turns, the unveiling, it's so great. I highly recommend it. And it's really interesting because it's been sold as one thing in terms of the promotion, you know, the idea that Wanda and Vision are this couple in this TV sitcom. Oh, that is not even close. Not even close. But back to Bobby and Kristen, and inspired by the American sitcoms of their youth, it's with one of these themes that we'll begin. Newlywed couple.
Oh, newlywed couple, just moved to town. A regular husband and wife, who left the big city to find a quiet life. WandaVision. She's a magical gal in a small town locale. He's a homie who's part machine. How will this duo fit in and pull through? Oh, by sharing a love like you've never seen. WandaVision.
Kristen and Bobby, how are you both? It's such an honor to meet you both.
Oh, thank you. It's an honor to meet you. I love your look. In a lockdown, you made an effort.
I'm just trying to find any opportunity to make an effort, you know, in terms of, so I thought I'd get into chat to you two today, so I have to make an effort. Listen, I'm such a fan of your work, and I think, you know, I have to make a confession. I just kind of interrupted my 12-year-old's French lesson by belting out Into the Unknown way louder than I needed to. But that's kind of something I've been doing since I first saw Frozen 2. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a second. But let's talk about WandaVision, because I've watched the first three episodes, which is all we've been kind of given access to yet. And this thing is phenomenal. I kind of don't know how to describe it, to be honest, because it's so many things. When the project was presented to you, how was it sold to you?
Well, my friend Matt is the director, and he approached me, I guess it was a year and a half ago, with a very broad outline of a pitch, which was just Wanda and Vision. Do you know those those superheroes. And I said, I think vaguely. And he's like, well, you know what happened at the end of Avengers, right? Well, okay. So then we see them in a 50s suburban paradise, and you write a theme song to introduce the sitcom. And all of a sudden, it just that scenario was so confusing and interesting and evocative of so many, you know, so much possibility. And just the idea of getting to write all those sitcom, the theme songs was like,
yeah,
just a dream. You know, so much fun, so much, there's so much like sort of menace to the tone of it that, you know, it was unlike anything we'd ever been pitched before.
And I grew up loving theme songs, loving sitcoms, and loving the music of the sitcoms. Mm. And, you know, we've said this before, but when you grew up in the 80s, if you were sick, you got to sit in front of the TV all day, and you got to start watching I Love Lucy in the morning and go through the decades. You know, my three sons, and I'm going to name all kinds of sitcoms that maybe don't mean anything to people in the UK. So, but
by Mindy?
Oh, Mork and Mindy.
Mork and Mindy, yes.
They never reran that one, though. I watched that when I was little, when it first came out, but then I wished that it would always come on, and it never did.
I'm kind of wearing my overalls in tribute to.
Yes.
To
yes.
I was gonna say that theme song went do do
do do do do do
do do do.
And you know, that is where I when you know, like in Gremlins, where Gizmo sings his little tune.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's the same tune.
Oh wow.
The music of that, of all of those sitcoms just live in my body. So when we got this assignment, I feel like we wrote everything in about 3 weeks, because I would wake up in the morning going like, I know what today is. I have it all written. I wrote it on a towel. I wrote it in a towel while wearing a towel because I thought of it in the shower.
Did you? And I guess because, I mean, Elizabeth and Paul are fantastic in these roles, and in terms of the complexities of what they're bringing to this, you know, it's comedy, but there's drama, and then it's so heightened because of the kind of sitcom element to it. But I just think that it's beautifully pitched in terms of their performance. And I wondered whether that was something, you know, in terms of when you were writing, had stuff been shot? So were you privy to the kind of tone of their performances? And did that come into how you and what you wrote?
Not at first. No, they hadn't started shooting when we started working, but they shortly did. And so as we were working, sometimes we would get some footage back and be able to write to it. And of course we knew between Marvel and Matt and Jack that we had collaborators who had their eye on every ball, every detail. We never worried about it feeling shoddy or, you know, flimsy for one second.
Though it is a very big swing. And I have to say, when I watch the performances, I go, what an act of faith Paul and Lizzie were doing, because it could really go wrong, and they get it just pitch perfect right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
WandaVision.
terms of the score side of it, you know, we have these almost like three musical elements to this. You have the kind of the needle drop, so to speak, you know, the Daydream Believer or the variations of those tracks, Yakety Yak, things like that. And then you have Christoph's score, and then you have, you know, your original compositions as well. And they've all got to connect, haven't they? They've all got to seem, I don't know.
One of the interesting things is that Bobby went to school with Matt Shakman and also was in the same a cappella group as Christoph Beck.
Yeah, at Yale as well.
At Yale. So,
wow.
There was already the shared references with all of the things that they, you know, all the time period that they all grew up in and the shared musical references. And Bobby actually sang a medley of a TV medley that was created by Christoph Beck. His group did an amazing theme song medley.
Yeah, it went from, there was one wonderful moment in it where it went from the Brady Bunch into Batman, and Brady Bunch continued so that it made some body puns. It was like, Batman, who was busy with three boys of his own. It was amazing. And that's the reason I joined that group, because it was so great and funny and Gen X and postmodern. So I knew, I mean, and we had worked with Chris on Frozen as well. So
yeah.
we knew that he was loving in the way that he would adapt our themes into his work, and he did a wonderful job
as always,
and he's still working on it.
I think you know, we have this wonderful partnership that's going through our career that I hope continues.
I mean, I hope you don't mind if I do talk very briefly about, you know, Frozen and Frozen 2, because those were just spectacular songs. And I remember taking my 7-year-old along to see Frozen 2 at the cinema, and the two of us, you know, high kicking our way out to, you know, we immediately felt like Into the Unknown was under our skin and it was there already. And it was our voice, you know, it was kind of, let's go and do it.
I can hear you, but I won't. Some look for trouble, while others don't. There's a thousand reasons I should go about my day and ignore your whispers, which I wish would go away. Oh, oh. You're not a voice, you're just a ringing in my ear. And if I heard you, which I don't, spoken for, I fear. Everyone I've ever loved is here within these walls. I'm sorry, secret siren, but I'm blocking out your calls. I've had my adventure, I don't need something new. I am afraid of what I'm risking if I follow you into the unknown.
I mean, that's the thing about the music, that particularly for those two films, and also Remember Me and Coco, you know, we were very lucky to speak to Lee Unkrich on the podcast, and, you know, your ears must have been burning that day just in terms of him talking about that song and how that was just so perfect for the film.
Remember me, though I have to say goodbye. Remember me. Don't let it make you cry. For even if I'm far away, I hold you in my heart. I sing a secret song to you each night we are apart. Remember me. Though I have to travel far, remember me. Each time you hear a sad guitar, know that I'm with you, the only way that I can be. Until you're in my arms again, remember me.
You do, you have this ability to immediately just connect on a you know, that thing where music makes you cry in a kind of, in a happy way, you know, it just levitates you and it takes you off, and you just have that ability with those songs from those films. And how do you do it?
Well, thank you. Thank you for saying that. I think one of the things that's very important to us is in everything we write that we put ourselves into it. Hmm. So when we wrote Frozen, we had two little girls and we were putting our experience watching these sisters who loved each other so much, but that because of age and because of sisters would sometimes slam the door on each other. And so we were putting a lot of that emotion into Frozen, as well as my own emotion as like a woman trying to find her voice and her power in a world that has spoon-fed us the someday your prince will come story. So it was really fun to rewrite what true love could mean. And we threw that in. Now with WandaVision, we have teens and tweens who love Marvel. And we also really understand the feeling of a married couple who turn to each other and their love to kind of, it's us versus the world, you know, that we have this private world in our family where we can kind of keep the chaos at bay outside. Yeah. But we know that chaos is knocking at the door in the form of pandemics or climate change or governments.
I think that's half of it. It's really like choosing collaborators and choosing pieces to work on that really mean something to you and have a role to play in the world, or at least our sense that maybe it's something that's needed. And also never really catching yourself writing something you don't want to write. Even within those projects, if someone says, what about this song? And you feel your heart sort of be dead inside and dread the idea of writing that song because it would just be a chore. Just don't. Yeah. Can't. Actually, wait till you have that.
Show her the sign behind. Oh. I don't know if you can see, but it says, do not bang head on wall. That's another one where if we start to work on a song and it's just not working and we're starting to turn on each other, this is a do not bang head on wall situation where we'll go for a walk. We'll say like, it's time for lunch, and come back to it 45 minutes later saying, okay, let's refresh our perspective on this.
Yeah, there's a pleasure principle at work within our work. If we're not feeling turned on by an idea, then it's probably not going to come to anything. And let's keep looking. Mm-hmm. Let's stay in the fun zone. Whereas I think maybe towards the beginning of our career, certainly in my head, there was a bang head on wall work ethic, which is why I need the sign.
We've only seen three episodes of WandaVision, and I'm not totally sure how many episodes there are, but in terms of your contribution, do we have more to come? Which I'm very much hoping.
You're allowed to say yes to that.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh! There'll be more. But we don't want to give away any details.
The end.
Yeah, which or where or when.
One thing about Marvel is I think they are some of the most out of the box storytellers right now in our global culture. And the storytelling is so good that we would hate for any spoilers.
Yeah, totally.
The one thing you could probably guess is that our favorite of the songs to come is the 80s. And just the same way we had a wonderful 80s moment in Frozen 2, we were able to luxuriate in our 80s-ness.
In the soundtrack of our childhood.
Yes.
I did want to touch on very quickly the brilliance of Lost in the Woods. I did an event actually in London, and Jonathan was there, and he talked quite a lot about about how much fun, you know, he had with that, those characters. You know, he's obviously kind of doing, you know, kind of as it's going along as well. It's just the capturing the right tone, you know, capturing the right sort of, you know, we talk about WandaVision being so pitch perfect in terms of that performance. But when you're writing a song, getting that tone right, you know, in terms of it being the right amount of comedy, the right amount of narrative drive, you know, on the right amount of character revelation, whatever, that kind of thing. And it's incredible how you're able to do that, and that tie in also with the actor's performance as well, you know, and them being able to have there's still been space within the song for them being able to add their own personality into that as well.
Well, with Lost in the Woods, Christoph couldn't even really sing in the whole first movie. He was such a sort of closed off masculine mountain man who was so not in touch with his own feelings. Anna unlocked that in him. But in Frozen 2, we knew Anna had unlocked enough feeling that he was going to be able to sing. And then we were thinking about how wonderful it is when you see that extremely masculine man who just feel so, so deeply. And what would that music be? That is the music of the 80s. Those like those Bon Jovi ballads,
power pose.
Yeah, where a man gets to feel his feelings.
Again, you're gone, off on a different path than mine. I'm left behind, wondering if I should follow. You had to go. And of course it's always fine. I probably could catch up with you tomorrow. But is this what it feels like to be growing apart? When did I become the one who's always chasing your heart? Now I turn around and find I am lost in the woods. North is south, right is left. When you're
Yeah, and similarly in WandaVision, what, you know, the unabashed sentimentality of the love of a family, you know, that's what these were all about in terms of sitcoms, and that's what, not to spoil anything, but it's we got to tap into that a little bit too.
Yes,
and before we run out of time, I just wanted to you know, the Avenue Q and you know, Book of Mormon, that kind of part of your history of fantastic projects and creativity. And it was really interesting. I was introducing my 7-year-old Sesame Street the other day. We don't have anything like that on TV anymore that uses music in such a brilliant storytelling way. And I was kind of watching it, you know, and I grew up adoring the Muppets, and, you know, we've watched that Muppet movie with Amy Adams, I would say about 9 million times. And I just think that there's something incredible with that type of storytelling that is so important for kids, I think. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And writing for the Muppets is the great white whale of my career. I began making a movie called Kermit, Prince of Denmark that never got made.
So brilliant. It's so good.
I loved it. But it couldn't make it happen. And we just had a project with Josh Gad and the Muppets that also didn't find its way. And
yet.
Third time will be the charm.
Listen, it's such a pleasure and a real honor to get to chat to you. And my kids were kind of like, can you ask them how they do it? So I'm glad I've been able to ask you how you're able to create these songs that we absolutely love and sing our hearts out around the song.
Well, again, I say to your kids what I say to my kids, which is that putting something out there involves getting that inner jerk in your brain to shut up, right? It's I don't use the jerk word. I use a stronger language. But just saying like, okay, I hear you, get out of my way so that I can create something without stopping myself. That's a really, really hard thing to do. But you're a writer when you write, and you've got to write every day. Write as much as you possibly can.
6 days a week.
6 days.
I like that. Listen, thank you so much for your time, Kristen and Bobby. It's a real honor to meet you. And thank you for all the joy you've brought us as well. And I look forward to getting to chat to you again in the future. And I look forward to this 80s themed episode of WandaVision as well to see your brilliance. Thank you so much, guys. Take care. Stay Bye. Safe.
We got something cooking and it's looking good. We got something cooking and knew we could. By all great expectations, lead to complications. But it's groovy and fun. It's me and it's you. WandaVision. Some sudden surprises come in all shapes and sizes. But it's rainbows and sun. It's you and it's me. Together, one plus one is family.
WandaVision.
From the soundtrack to WandaVision, that's We've Got Something Cooking by Kristen Anderson Lopez and Bobby Lopez, rounding off this latest episode of Soundtracking with the songwriters extraordinaire. My huge thanks to Kristen and Bobby for taking the time to talk to us. WandaVision is available on Disney Plus now, with new episodes streaming every Friday. And I think you might have got from my earlier rant about it that I'm thoroughly enjoying it. We'll put up a Spotify playlist link for this show via edithbowman.com, which is also where you'll be able to listen to every single episode of the podcast, including my chat with co-director Lee Unkrich. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. We are at Soundtracking UK. And please do, as I said, spread the word via your social channels as and when we post. We also have a little YouTube channel where you can find a regular show I put together to accompany the podcast. In fact, I'm just in the finishing touches of putting together about half a dozen episodes, so those will be up in the very near future. Join me next week for another episode as I deep dive into the world of film and music. I very much look forward to the pleasure of your company then.